Hey there, Slingers. This is Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger. I am so glad that you're here because I got something to tell you. And that is a little story about how to use story to build your brand. So stay tuned for that. Plus, we go to the San Antonio Zoo.
Word Slinger.
See you after this.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand. Write your book. Redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
This segment of the Word Slinger podcast is being brought to you by me. Now, if you'd like to support me and my work, this podcast, whatever else I'm doing, you can do that best by going and buying one of my books or a whole bunch of my books. Go to kevintomlinson.com/books, where you'll find an entire library of things waiting for you to discover. Go find your next new favorite read, and you'll be helping me out, which means I can continue to help you out. Well, I am Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Word Slinger podcast. Things are moving, man. Things are moving in life right now. There's a whole lot of stuff. Just things happening left and right for me, which means that there's, I acknowledge things are probably happening left and right for you too. I hope that whatever it is that's happening in your life is a blessing. There are things. So, like right now, we got some news yesterday, and it's not great news. It's actually something that's going to impact us financially for a little while, and I'm not really sure full and specific details about it just yet. But you know, as soon as we got the news, there was a sort of question mark hanging over us, and we decided, you know, what we need to do. What we need to do right now is go to the zoo. So we loaded up. We put Minnie in daycare, and we drove to San Antonio, which is about 2 hours from us. There's a zoo closer to us in Austin, but really what we were doing was we just decided to go to San Antonio. And once we got to San Antonio, we sort of drove through the, like, you know, the Alamo area and the downtown and over by the Riverwalk and everything, and decide, you know, this isn't, we're not feeling this. This isn't quite what we wanted to experience. But we had seen the sign for the San Antonio Zoo, and so we decided, well, let's go try that out. And man, I got to tell you, that is a gorgeous zoo. If you've never been to the San Antonio Zoo, if you ever get an opportunity to go, I recommend going. It's clean and just well done. I mean, the way that you navigate through the it's very, I don't know, there's a great progression, I guess. But I have this love for cultivated places, you know, places where there's obviously great care, where people are taking care of it, and people love it and care about it. Everyone we encountered, you know, all the guests, you know, the kids that were there, and, you know, this is the middle of the week. I mean, this was a Wednesday. So there wasn't, you know, there weren't a ton of people there, and a lot of the booths, the food vendors and things like that were closed, which felt a little weird, but it was still a good energy. And the animals were all out and playing. We got to see, like, the big cats and the birds and, you know, all these things. We didn't get to see the giraffes, which was the only thing that Kara said she wanted to see. We kind of ran out of time, but we had a great time. Now, we also, on the drive up, we stopped. I'm going to plug this place because I love this place. There's a restaurant called Chicken Salad Chick. And I'm on a quest for the world's best chicken salad. And the metric I'm using isn't even homemade chicken salad. My favorite chicken salad sandwich of all time was always the chicken salad sandwich that Chick-fil-A used to make. I would stop and order a Chick-fil-A chicken salad sandwich and a side of carrot and raisin salad. Well, guess which two things they don't make anymore. And that was always my favorite. I measure every chicken salad against that one. But I just can't. I haven't found a replacement yet. But Chicken Salad Chick is a great restaurant. I first encountered them on another podcast, How I Made This, and with Guy Raz. And that was a great interview. If you get a chance, go find that interview. A great, inspiring story. And, you know, I'm always a fan. I'll get to this in a second, but I'm always a fan. I want to know the story behind the brand. And that will make me, a lot of times, a brand loyal person for life. There's a lesson to learn there. Look for the story, okay? Create the story. Whatever it is that you're trying to do with your life, figure out what the story should be, the story that you're telling people. What should that be? And then that's what you put out there. That's how people discover you. That's how people come to love you. That's where you gain that brand loyalty for yourself. So if you're a writer, if you are an entrepreneur, even if you are an employee of a business, look for the way to convey your story, your brand to your employer. And that will create loyalty. That will create goodwill toward you. Be authentic. Don't just make stuff up. See, I said I was going to get to this in a minute, but I got to it right now. But you know, you want to create an authentic story that brings in that reader, that customer, that viewer. You want it to be genuine. You want it to have the right energy to be you, and not something fake and made up that you think is going to impress people. And if you do that, if you focus on that, I promise you, they will come. The reader, the viewer, the listener, the customer. The job offers. Story is powerful. That's why this podcast has always been about story. Coming up soon, I'm actually going to be interviewing Michael Evans, and he's got this whole philosophy of storytellers rule the world. So stay tuned for that. That interview, I'm going to be conducting that interview here in a couple of hours, my time. I don't know when that episode will go live, but stay tuned. You're going to want to see that one. Anyway, so getting back to the zoo, the thing was, we had a choice. This is what's tough. I wrote about this today in my three pieces of wisdom. The tough thing about your life, about everything, is there's a choice that you make. Okay? Worry is easy. Worry and despair are the two easiest things that you can do in this life. All you gotta do is relax and let it happen. You don't even relax. You just let it. It just happens. You just allow it to happen, right? Worry is easy. It comes by default. Joy and hope, those two things, man, those are the tough ones. That's the tough stuff. That's the two things that are hardest for you in this life to decide. That you are going to live a life of joy and hope. And it's no joke. But here's the thing. We got bad news, and we decided the best way to deal with that bad news, even though it was all about finances, the best way to deal with that is to go distract ourselves for a few hours with something that brought us joy. And, you know, it's a 2-hour drive there. So that's 2 hours of us chatting about it, making jokes. We stopped at a Buc-ee's. If you don't know Buc-ee's, Buc-ee's is this amazing gas station that's become like a mega thing. It's become a destination. So there are people who, you know, they're starting to branch outside of Texas now, but there are people who, like, that's their Texas road trip, is one Buc-ee's to another all the way to the border, whichever direction they're going. Buc-ee's happens to have started in my hometown. My mother worked for the first Buc-ee's in Brazoria County, in Brazoria, Texas, the town where I was born and grew up. I grew up in Wild Peach, Texas, but Brazoria was like town. When you went into the town, Brazoria was town. And there was the very first Buc-ee's store there. And it's still there. It's a dinky little gas station. And then the next one that evolved was a little bigger, and it was close by. My mom worked at that one too, and it just kind of kept growing. So Bucky's is a family tradition in my world, but that's a side trail. But the point is, we decided to take that time to celebrate rather than despair, and it made all the difference. We both came back. We had ideas. We on this drive there and the drive back, we came up with these ideas about like what could this mean? How does this benefit us? Because I start from this place. It's not easy, and it's taken me a while to get here. But I now start everything from the space of, number one, where is God in this? That's the thing I ask. I want to make sure I ask of everything. Where's God in this thing? And number two, how is this benefiting us? Because I also operate from the belief that everything happens for us. Everything happens for me. I write this, repeat this every day as part of my affirmations. Everything is happening for me. I also write, everything is always working out for me. And that has been the truth of my life. So all this, though, it's a choice. We make this choice. And this is how you go forward. This is how you take a strike against you, a blow against you from, I say from the enemy. But life takes a swipe and slaps you right upside the head. The Will Smith to your Chris Rock. And when that happens, you've got two choices. You either clutch your cheek and fall to the ground and let that be the defining moment of your life, or you stand up, you make a joke, you embrace the hope, and you keep going. And that's what we decided to do, and that's made a huge difference. Events like this have happened in our lives before, and it's for days and maybe sometimes weeks, you're depressed and you're anxious and you're worried. And then today, the day after the news, Kara and I have both been hopeful. She's initiating some of the plans that we came up with on the drive home. We've reached out to family and friends, and we've had great conversations. We've got plans to meet up with some friends in the next few days. We went to the zoo. So maybe that would work for you, whatever you're dealing with. Things get hard, but I don't know. It's, I used to get really bothered by this. When stuff went wrong and my dreams weren't happening the way I thought they would. And, money got tight and jobs were lost and family members passed and all these things. That it just feels like one more blow, one after the other. And victory is not going through life and never having to face these battles. Victory is having that blow come and deciding, I'm going to stand up anyway. I'm going to the zoo. So, that said. I've had an interesting few days, and I think there are more interesting days to come. Real quick, today's three pieces of wisdom were some that really kind of resonated here with this same idea. I went with this same theme. But number one, worry is easy and takes no effort. But hope takes work to keep it close. That's number one. Number two, celebrate every good thing, big or small, yours or theirs. Celebrate other people's victories as much as you celebrate your own. That's a good way to live. And number three, when you realize that even your mistakes serve God and serve you, now you're living with power. So that's my three pieces of wisdom for this episode of the Wordslinger podcast. Now, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to pop something up on the screen. You should be seeing it now, but I hadn't had anyone answer the call for asking me anything this week, except I did have a gentleman pop in with a question. I don't think he intended me to answer on air, but I'm going to answer it anyway. So this this image that's popping up right now on your screen, this is a comment that was made. So the podcast, the feed on here on YouTube and elsewhere is picking up all my old podcasts from before. And, you know, I've relaunched now, but so it's adding all those old podcasts to the feed. And one of them was an interview I did with Jeff Goins several years ago. And this gentleman, William Farley, sorry to call you out, William, but I mean, you posted publicly, so here we go. But he posts, what is this and why am I here? I'm the only view on this video. I'm going to count that as an ask me anything. And, you know, I don't have a good answer for you, William. I mean, that the videos are popping up on YouTube, populating the Wordslinger podcast playlist, which I'll link to in the show notes below and elsewhere. But you're here because apparently the YouTube algorithm thinks that you could benefit from that interview. You've probably watched something else, maybe with Jeff Goins or me or writing or something along those lines, so... That's why. That's the only answer I got for you. But welcome. I'm always kind of amused when people post things like this. Like, YouTube's a wild place, man. I mean, you know, the comments you see on videos, like there are actually people who just recommend against ever reading comments from YouTube videos. And the same, they apply the same to Twitter. I get it, man. I've my approach, by the way, to comments and interaction on these things, is I've honestly largely become very one way in a lot of social media. Like, I'm a broadcaster. I still pay attention, though. Like, I have a, it's taken me years to kind of perfect a routine of being able to check in on social media and do the interaction stuff. It always felt overwhelming. But part of it was for me to let go of, responding to caustic things, commenting on things that rile me up. I'm trying to ignore a lot of that. On YouTube, it's been very interesting because one of the things I've embarked on, if you watch something, especially if you like it or whatever, but even if you're not subscribed to something, like you watch a video on a topic, the algorithm just starts feeding you more of that. So periodically something political will come across my feed and I'll watch it. And I try not to make that I'm trying to eliminate a lot of that kind of stuff from my life. And so, you know, sometimes though it's something interesting, it's something controversial and I'll watch it. And YouTube will start feeding me more of that, but it just gets progressively worse. It's like, if I watch a video, where someone said something about Trump, I'm getting 1,000 suggestions for Trump videos. I'm going to just be frank with you. I don't like Donald Trump. I never have liked Donald Trump. I am a conservative in my politics, I guess. I'm probably a lot more middle of the road than I used to be. I think, though, when it comes to political parties, both sides are morons. I just can't deal. I just can't deal with extreme ends on that spectrum. So I'm always much more of a centrist, somewhere in the middle, leaning a little right. I don't want to be inundated with stuff about Trump, good or bad. I don't want to see anything about Trump. I'm praying that God blesses us with a whole better candidate somehow. Maybe this is finally the opportunity for us to have a good third party candidate. I don't know. But please, YouTube, if you're listening, don't give me Trump stuff. I don't want to see it. You may feel different. I got plenty of friends who, for some reason, love the guy. I have never liked the guy. Not since... Actually, I stopped liking Trump. I never liked him in the first place, honestly. I mean, the minute I heard anything come out of his mouth, I was not impressed with him. But on his show, that show that he was on, I don't know, You Fired. I don't remember the name of the show because I'd never watched it because I could not stand. I watched like two episodes of it and saw him mouth off to somebody. And I just was done. And then it was like 4 years of mouthing off to everybody as our president. But at any rate, I went on a little rabbit trail there. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate that you're here and that you are subscribing. Make sure that you are doing all the important things. That includes liking, subscribing, clicking the little bell notification thing. That's important. Leaving comments on these videos shows YouTube that you're engaged and you're liking it and, watching them all the way through. Apparently I'm learning a lot about YouTube, what YouTube likes and doesn't like. So, but share this video with people. That will help me a lot. And, let me know if you're getting something out of these, if you're enjoying them. I'm starting to do interviews now, so there should be some interview format stuff coming up. Let me know what sorts of things you're enjoying, what you're not. That helps me kind of shape the show. I may or may not care what you like. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm somebody who's I'm here to build something that resonates as being genuine and authentic to me. And I am very concerned with, I want it to serve you. That is very important to me. But I can only be who I am. So if there's something about me personally you don't like, I get it. There are other shows out there. But I think we actually have a great opportunity here to sort of, I don't know, we can serve each other. That's the end game, right? We're gonna serve each other and make the whole world better. So, but thanks for tuning into the Wordslinger podcast. I know we're kind of off to sort of a slow, weird start with the show again, getting our feet under us. But I am really happy to be back. So hope you're happy to be back too. So again, make sure that you subscribe, make sure you share, and, you can find all kinds of links to follow me all over the interwebs, including on Substack. Where I do a lot of writing. Every Friday I post a little something on Substack, so go check that out. And make sure you like and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. That will also help me. And thank you for being here. Take care.
Wordslinger.